Good morning, Farech and Chanukah. We begin today's daf Mem Beis, Maseches Bava Kama. We begin by thanking our sponsors. We thank Summer Wolf for sponsoring all the shurim for the month of Teves, with immense gratitude for the refuahs from Hashem, and the merit of a refuah shlema for all those in need, and the zchus of our brave Israeli soldiers and hostages. Kadosh Baruch Hu should be Kabbalah, our tefillahs, and the schus of our Aliyah of Torah should be Yeshua for all of Klal Yisrael. We also dedicate all the shurim of Maseches Bava Kama to Master Sergeant Eliyahu Michal Harush, Hashem Yimkom Damai, who was Meister Nefesh to save so many people during the horrific terror attack on October 7th. Today's Amud is Dach, Mem Beis, Maseches Bava Kama. We are going to begin on Mem Aleph, Amud Beis, at the two dots. It's about 10 to 15 lines up from the bottom. So if you remember from yesterday, we are in the middle of darshaning the pasuk of Abala Sharnaki. Pasuk tells us that when an animal which is a tam, so not a sharmud, an animal which is a tam, that has not yet built up a pattern of causing damage, kills somebody, halacha is, the animal is going to be killed. Abala Sharnaki, there isn't going to be any payments. And Abala Sharnaki is something which has been darshaned in many different ways. Yesterday, Baal Sharnaki taught us that he is wiped out clean, literally. Like you say, someone's cleaned out, Baal Sharnaki meant that the animals, the hides that were left over, Asr Bahana, and anything left over from the animal is Asr Bahana. Now the Gemara is going to present in today's Amud a number of different alternative understandings of what Baal Sharnaki is teaching us in that pasuk. Tanu Rabbanan, Ubala Sharnaki, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, Naki Michatzi Kofer. What does that mean? That means if a shark kills a person, the halacha is, it has to pay kofer. There's a monetary payment that must be paid when a person is killed. You might think that a shark that has not yet built up a pattern of causing damage, would have to pay Chatzi Kofer, half of that value. Ubala Sharnaki says, no. He does not have to pay half that value. In other words, half payment, chatzi nezek, that a shar tam pays is relevant by damages, but not when it comes to killing somebody, because when it comes to kill somebody, the animal is put to death and no financial payments are made, not half the value and not the full value. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, hold on a second. Rabbi Eliezer, how could it be that the pasuk of Baal Sharnaki was written specifically to exempt the owner from paying half the value of the person who was killed? That doesn't make sense. We mentioned this so many times throughout the Masechta, that not only does a shartam not pay the full damage, only pays half the damage, but also a shartam only ever pays from its value. It never will pay anything that exceeds the value of the actual animal. So if that's the case, as Rabbi Akiva, you just put the animal to death. So haviu lufnei bez de mishalim loch. The guy, the owner of the animal, will say, you know what? You're right. You think I have to pay half the value of the person who was killed? I have to pay chatzi kofer? No problem. I'll be right here with my animal and take the value of the person from the animal. How much will that be? Zero. It will be zero because the animal's dead. An animal that's dead doesn't have any value. The animal is put to death. The animal's dead. It can't be used for anything. So therefore, its value is zero. Now you're telling me, you would have thought, I would have to pay half the value of the person who was killed. Maybe that would be the case, but where do I pay it from? I pay it from the assets of the animal. The assets of the animal are zero, because it was put to death. So it can't be the pasuk is telling me that the owner of a shartam would only pay half of, sorry, I would have thought you pay half of the value of the person who was killed. Comes along the pasuk and says you pay zero, just logically you would pay zero anyway because the animal is not worth anything. So that's Rabbi Akiva's question. Omar Rabbi Lezer responds to him and says, Kach ani beinecha. Are you kidding me? That's how you view me? You looked at my answer and you viewed me as explaining to you something so simple. In other words, you think Shedini Bozesh Chayav Misa. You thought I was telling you the animal is chayav misa, that still in such a case it won't pay half the value of the person who was killed? Of course, I understand that. I understand if the animal's dead, there's no value to collect from. You see, like, there was such a response over here of, that's how you see me? He took it a little bit personally. He responded, Ein dini ela k'shehemis ha-se'adam al-pi eit echad o al-pi bailam. He says, when I told you my din, that the pasuk is telling you that you won't pay for any damages to the person or any financial fees to the person, I was talking about a case where the animal killed somebody but managed to escape death. How did it escape death? Well, there weren't two witnesses that saw that the animal killed the person. Maybe there was one witness. You can't kill an animal with one witness. Or I was talking about a case where there were no witnesses. But you know what? The owner of the shar actually confessed that his animal got out of control and killed the animal. In such a case, the animal won't be put to death. In that case, says Rabbi Eliezer, that's what I'm telling you. You would have thought there would be a tam payment of half the value of kofar, half the value of the person that was killed. Comes along Baal Sharnaki to say, even though the animal's not going to be put to death, and the animal still maintains its full value, nevertheless, a short tam does not pay anything, not even half the value of the person. Now the Gemara says, hold on a second. How could that be? How could you think that if the animal was not convicted of killing the person, either because there weren't two witnesses, or because there was only the owner who came to confess, Alpi Bailim, Moda Beknasu. If the only way that we know that this animal killed a person is because the owner came to confess, that means the owner actually was owning up to it. And guess what the halacha is? Anytime there's a knas, a financial penalty, not a financial value, but a financial penalty, which is what the kofar payment is, it's a penalty. It's not that you're actually paying the value of a person. There's no such thing as the value of a person. The value of a person exceeds any amount of money. So the payment of kofar is always going to be a payment, which is going to be a knas, modiv knas patur. If the owner confesses, the halacha is, anytime a person confesses before being convicted that they owe a financial penalty, they get out of it. So therefore, it would be no havamina. It would be impossible to think, or even to entertain the thought, that if there weren't two edim, and the only way we know that this animal came by and killed this other person is because the owner confessed to it, of course there'd be no financial payment over there. It's no different than any other financial penalty, where if you're going to admit that you own it, that you owe it, that you don't have to pay it. Now it happens to be Tosfos points out, we could have asked a similar question. Rashi writes this also. Rashi and Tosfos write this. Now, you could have asked a similar question when it comes to Eid Echad also. What's the Havamina that I would have to pay the financial payment when there's an Eid Echad? An Eid Echad does not have the ability to be able to extract money from somebody. An Eid Echad, the only thing an Eid Echad could do is to create enough doubt that Beis Din would impose, or that the, not Beis Din, but that the Torah would impose a Shavua, that the person would have to take an oath that they're not obligated. But again, in this case, you follow it through all the way. If one aid comes and says, I watched that animal kill a person, then we go to the owner and say, now you have to take a shavua. You have to go to Beis Din and take an oath that your animal didn't kill the person. Now again, if the owner refuses to take that oath, essentially the chiyuv is coming through that person. So again, in either one of these cases, we were going to have this question that it can't be that there'll be a financial payment coming about by way of either through an Eid Echad, one witness, or through the owner himself confessing. The Gemara says, well, you know what? All this is going to only make sense. In other words, your question only makes sense if you understand that kofra, this financial payment over here is a penalty. However, Huka Savar, Rabbi Lezer is of the opinion that kofra kapara. Kofar is actually instituted as the word sounds as a kapara. Bottom line is, your animal went out and killed somebody, and there, even though it wasn't you, maybe it wasn't a real negligence on your part because your animal was a tam, but still, somebody died because of you. So the kofar payment, the financial payment, is there to bring about an atonement to the owner. In such a case, You would actually think maybe the guy wants to make the payment. He wants to have a kapara. He wants to be atoned for someone being killed through his property. So that's why he thinks there would have been a havamina. There would have been a thought to say that when he owns up to the mistake that his animal killed somebody, that even though his animal is not going to be put to death, he would still make a financial payment. And how much of a payment? Tatsi kofa, because it's a tam. Kamash blon, the pasuk tells us, ubala sharnaki, that no, he does not pay anything. Tani idach, we have another brisa where a different answer was given. Amalor bi Eliezer. Akiva, in other words, we have a conversation where Rabbi Eliezer responded to Rabbi Akiva and said, kach ani beinecha, that's how you see me. In other words, you understand shadini bezesh chayav misa, that my opinion that the pasuk was telling us that there's no financial payment is when the animal is actually put to death. No, ein dini ela b'miskavan la'argas abehema b'haragas adam. I was talking about a different case where my animal actually intended to kill another animal, but by mistake it found itself goring a person, in such a case, it won't be put to death. Or similarly, Lemitzri wanted to kill a Mitzri, Baharag Yisrael, and killed a Jew instead. Lunafalim wanted to kill a child, which is a Nafal, in other words, a miscarried child, or stillborn, Baharag Ben Kayama, and killed a child that was alive. In such a case, all those cases are cases where the animal had intention to kill. There were Edim that watched to kill. However, there was a problem. The animal killed the wrong person. Tried to kill something else, another animal, or didn't have a mind to kill a Jew, didn't have a mind to kill a Ben Kayama, a child that can survive. In those cases, the animal will not be put to death. In such a case, says Rabbi Eliezer, you would think there would be a financial payment of Chatzi Kofa when the animal is a tam. The Pasuk tells us, Vala Sharnaki, there is no financial payment at all. So now the Gemara says, Hai Amar Le Bereisha. There's two answers that were given here. Which one was said first? If Kahana Mishmei de Rav Amar, if Kahana the name of Rav said, Miskaven Amar Le Bereisha, in other words, the second teretz that our Gemara gave was really said first. Rav Tavyumi Mishmei de Rav, Rav Tavyumi says the name of Rav, Hamis Amar Le Bereisha. That it killed the person, but there weren't enough Edim, or there were no Edim at all. That was the answer that was given first. Rav Kahana Mishmei de Rav Amar Miskaven Amar Le Bereisha. The Gemara explains why each one had their opinion about which one was said first. Rav Kahana says the name of Rav that Miskaven Amar Le Bereisha, the second teretz was said first. Mashal. The Gemara gives a mashal. Letzayit to a fisherman, Shesholo Dagim in a Yam. He's fishing fish out of the sea, on top of Membez and Aleph. Mishkach Rav Ravi. If the fisherman finds large fish, then Shakil, he'll take it, because that's what he's there for. He wants big, large fish. But he doesn't stop right there. He's still zutri shakale. He'll still catch smaller fish afterwards. He'll still take them home. In other words, sometimes a person, even though they caught a big fish, they're still willing to catch smaller fish afterwards. In other words, the second teretz is much better. There's no question to be had on it. It makes perfect sense. The animal is not being put to death. You might think that there's financial payment. So it comes along the pasuk and says, no financial payment. The other tariff, the previous one that our Gemara mentioned, had a big problem. Because we said, modu b'kanas patur, so therefore everybody would admit, should admit, that there's no financial payment. Nevertheless, he found some small fish, he picked it up anyway. Rav Tavyumi Mishmei de Rav Amar. Rav Tavyumi, the name of Rav, said, no, Hamis Amar Leberesha, the second tariff. Sorry, the conversation took place exactly as our Gemara records it. They killed, but there were no Edim, or there's only one aid. In that case, that was said first, and then, Mashal Litzayit Shishol Adagam and Ayam, it's similar to a case of a fisherman that's taking, he's fishing fish out of the water, and Mishkach is a tree, Shakel, he's fishing, all he catches is these small little fish. He says, you know what? Maybe I won't catch any big fish today. So therefore, he picks them up, he puts them into his ice chest, and he brings it back home. Then, afterwards, Ravri, when he catches big fish, then he says, Shadi Zutri Vishakil. He takes the small fish, throws them back into the sea, and says, I don't need these tiny little sardines. I'll have a massive large fish. I'll take that one home. And then so he says, Shadi Zutri. He throws the small ones back, Vishakil Ravri, and he takes the big one. So when I learned this Gemara, I actually learned this Gemara last night, and I was thinking, what's the mashal for?
Usually you have a mashal. The idea, the concept of a mashal is, you have a very deep, complex concept. It's very difficult to explain it with all its details. What you do is, you kind of simplify it through a mashal. Why is this so complicated? Why couldn't the Gemara just say, simply, either he had a good teretz initially, so he said the good teretz, and you know what? He heard a teretz which was afterwards, wasn't so good, he figured he'll hear it. In other words, what's the Gemara explaining that's so difficult, you need a mashal to be able to explain it? I don't know if this is the correct pshat, but this is the idea that came to my mind. Take it or leave it. This Gemara, just to me, when I read it, it sounds very similar to a discussion that took place between Shammai and Hillel. You know, there's machlokes between Shammai and Hillel. What's the proper way to be mekayem the pasuk as zachar es yom haShabbos lekatsho? It says a person should remember Shabbos. How do you remember Shabbos during the week? So Shammai, on Sunday, he would go to the supermarket. He'd see what kind of food was there. He'd find a nice piece of meat or a nice fish. He'd say, you know what? I need fish for Shabbos. He'd take it home. Even though it wasn't the best cut of meat, it wasn't the largest or the juiciest or the most tasty fish in the market, he said, listen, we've got to have fish for Shabbos. He'd bring it home. On Monday, he'd go back and find a better piece. He'd buy it again. And then he'd take the first one and eat it for lunch on Monday. And then on Tuesday, he'd find a better one. He'd eat Mondays for lunch on Tuesday. Finally, Erev Shabbos came. He found the best piece of meat or the best fish. And then he would have the best out of the whole week. Everything else that he bought, he would eat for lunch during the week. The Gemara says that's how Shammai would be mekayim zachar siyom Shabbos every single day. And he was always shopping for Shabbos. And whenever he found better stuff, he reserved the better produce or the better food for Shabbos. Sounds pretty similar to this Gemara. That you go shopping, you pick up what you get, and whether it's the best or not, you take it. And when you find something better, you hold on to that one. And I think it could be what the Gemara is saying over here. This might be a little bit of a stretch, but I think that there's definitely a Musar Haskel to take from this anyway, which is sometimes when you're learning, you come up with a pshat in something, it's just not so good. But it answers the question. So people might think like, I'm not bothering with this. The Gemara says, no. Even if you feel like it's a zutri, it's a small one, take it. Hold on to it. It's worthwhile. What happens? You take another one, which I have a question and I'm not so sure. Keep on going. Until finally, Shakil Ravarvi, you find this great teretz. So what do you do then? And when you find the great teretz, you could say, you know what, my previous terutzim, maybe they weren't correct. Don't hold on to things that you're not sure if they're true. You get rid of them. The other way is also true. Sometimes people come up with a good teretz, came up with a good pshat. You know what? I'm done for the day. I'm out. I came up with a good tosfos. I learned it. I'm out. The Gemara says, no, that's not the appropriate way of learning. Sometimes you catch a big fish, you still go shopping afterwards for small fish. And I think that this is probably, hopefully, what the Gemara is telling us. And I think it really makes sense with the Gemara. They're arguing which one was said first because either way, it gives you the approach of how a person has to learn Torah. A person has to be able to learn Torah every single day and say, I'm not done. I came up with a small little Torah. It doesn't make sense. Things seem to fit well in the Gemara. Keep on going until you get this ravarvi, to this big, fat, juicy fish. But the other way around, you come up with, sometimes this happens to people, and you know, when you learn the best measures with other people, sometimes people kvetch out a Torah. They come out with something which is not a great teretz, and the action zechan, you know what that means? They become so stubborn with their answer, they refuse to let go, despite the fact they have so many questions, so many weaknesses with it, they refuse to let go. The Gemara is saying, when you come up with a teretz, if it's not so good, okay, use it when you need it. It's called a daichak. You use it when you need it, but when you come up with a ravarvi, when you come up with the right pshat, at that point in time, you have to sometimes dismiss some of the things you learned beforehand, and then, ultimately, yes, you hold on to your ravarvi. That's what I think. That's why the mashal's here. Tanya Idach. Now we have another approach to how to understand the pasuk of Bala Sharnaki. Bala Sharnaki, Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer. So now, we had Rabbi Lezer this morning. Here comes Rabbi Yossi Aglili. He says, I'll tell you how to understand the pasuk of Bal Sharnaki. What does that mean? Midmei Velados. So what's that talking about? The halacha is, if two people get into a fight, the pasuk says, ki yinatzu anashim yachtov. Two people get into a fight, and while they're fighting, they get so out of control, by mistake, one of them strikes a pregnant woman, and unfortunately, as a result of that, she miscarries her child. Okay, so the halacha is, in such a case, the pasuk says, ki yinatzu anashim yachtov, two people are fighting, v'nagfu isha hara v'yatzu yiladeah. By mistake, struck a pregnant woman, and the child came out. Volo yia ason, she does not die, so she remains alive. The child comes out, the fetus comes out. Anosh ye anesh, they should be punished. Kasha yashus ala bala isha nothing beflilim, they have to pay for the miscarried child. Now, Rabbi Yosef Lili is saying that's only true when anoshim, when people are fighting. What happens if an animal strikes a pregnant woman, and as a result of that, she miscarries a child? There's no financial payment. That's what Baal Sharnaki means. There's no financial payment for killing the vlados, the fetus. Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, the same Rabbi Akiva from before. He shows up. He's like, Hareyu Omer ki anatsu anashim. The pasuk tells you, guess what? When people are fighting, anashin v'loshvarim. Why do you need a pasuk of a Baal Sharnaki to tell me that the owner of the animal is not going to have to pay for the fetus that was miscarried? I've got news for you, says Bekiva. The pasuk already told us this. This whole discussion is only relevant when anashim are fighting. V'loshvarim, not when animals are fighting. So the Gemara says, Shapra ka'amr Bekiva. The Gemara says, it seems like a pretty good question Bekiva asked. Amar Rav Ula Breder of Idi, Rav Ula Breder of Idi is going to explain why, even though the pasuk already said ki yinatzu anashim, that if people are fighting, still we have to have the pasuk of Baal Sharnaki to tell me that there's not going to be a financial payment if an animal causes her to miscarry. And the Gemara is going to try a number of attempts with that. I would have thought anashim velo shvarim hadomim anashim. Maybe it's excluding shvarim, an animal, a bull or ox that is similar to a person. What type of ox is similar to a person? Ma anashim mu'adim. Just like when it comes to people, we know the halacha that people don't ever get a category called tam. A person is always responsible for what they do. So ma anashim mu'adim af shvarim mu'adim. Just like when it comes to people. People are a mu'ad for damage. And that means they always have to pay. The same thing is true, the pasuk is now saying. People, yes, but not shvarim who are mu'adim. Hatam mechayiv. But if the animal is a shartam, which has not yet established a pattern of damaging, then I would say maybe that the shartam would have to pay. The pasuk tells you, Baal Sharnaki, to tell you, even a shartam does not have to make any financial payments if it causes a woman to miscarry her child. Amar Rava. Rava says, hold on. Yatziva ba'ara v'giyora b'shmeshmaya. This is an expression. What this means is, Yatziva is the resident, the local resident, is sitting on the ground. V'giyora, a visitor to the town, ends up being elevated all the way to the shmeshmaya. It's like sitting on a throne, which basically means, this is backwards. Everything is flipped over. You have a resident of a town. The resident of the town has a house, has a place to stay, gets a place to settle. He's a local tax-paying citizen. He gets his rights to use the resources of the community. A visitor comes, he's got to wait in line. Which basically means, if you flip it around, you're giving the wrong person the precedence. You're giving a visitor the opportunity to enjoy all the amenities of the town, and a person who's a tax-paying citizen gets nothing. And that's what the Gemara means to say. This is just, it's an expression to say, this is backwards. How could you have even a hava mina to tell me that if a muad who's already established a pattern of causing damage is going to be exempt because that's similar to a person, and then you say anashim velo shvarim, but a tam that has no pattern of causing damage, still that will have to pay? It's exactly the opposite. It doesn't make any sense. Elama Rava, Rava suggests another teretz as to why, even though the pasuk says kiyanatzu anashim, which would, by definition, necessarily exclude animals, still I need a pasuk to tell me that a shar tam is not going to pay for the damage. Because it goes as follows. The same idea. The pasuk says anashim and it excludes people that are similar to, sorry, I should say the other way around. Shvarim that are similar to people, ma anashim u'adim, just like people who are amud, af shvarim u'adim, v'kal v'chomer l'tamin. And I would say, of course, logic would dictate, as we just got finished saying, that if a mu'ad doesn't have to pay, and a tam doesn't have to pay, dipatiri, hadakas rachmana bala sharnaki, the pasuk then went and wrote, bala sharnaki, to tell me that a shartam does not have to pay. Why is the pasuk right there? It's obvious. If a mu'ad doesn't have to pay, of course a tam doesn't have to pay. So the pasuk tells you, bala sharnaki, tam pater. There's a special mention by a tam to say that a tam doesn't pay, umuad chayim. In other words, the whole idea of Baal HaSharnaki was to tell you that only Baal HaSharnaki, when the pasuk said, anashim velo shivarim, it meant to exclude a shartam, but a sharmuad indeed will pay. Tam pater umuad chayim. That's the way Rava explains it, and therefore he could explain why the pasuk of Baal HaSharnaki tells you that a shartam will not have to pay the value of the vladas. Amar Abaya, Elamiyata. If that's the case, Gabi Boshes Nami Nimahachi. Let's say the same thing with regard to payments for embarrassment, which was mentioned in the Mishnah before, that Shvarim don't pay it. Say, Anashim, Velo Shvarim Adom El Anashim. Say exactly as we just got finished saying. The Pasuk says, Anashim. Then it excludes Shvarim, animals that are similar to Anashim, which means Ma'anashim, Wadim, Shvarim, Wadim. So, at face value, it would start off by excluding animals that are mu'adim, v'kal v'chomer l'tamin, you make a kal v'chomer and say, if a shar mu'ad doesn't have to pay for embarrassment, certainly a shar tam doesn't have to pay for embarrassment, dipatiri hadakas rachman ba'al sharnaki, the pasuk adds in ba'al sharnaki to say that no, shar tam patru mu'ad chayiv. And therefore, we will be able to establish from this Gemara that if a shar mu'ad embarrasses a person, then the owner would have to pay for the damage. If you want to say yes, indeed, that is going to be the halacha. According to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, Ihachi, Listni, Baal HaSharnaki, Rabbi Yosi Aglili, Omer, Patim, Idmei, Vlados, Umi, Boshes. Why doesn't he write that? El Amar Abaya, Abaya tells us, El Abaya, V'Rava, Dami, Tavaya, Sarli, Gemara says, Abaya and Rava, both of them say, Anoshim, it comes to Anashim, ain't also Anashim. It can't be because ain't ason beish. The pasuk tells me there's no tragedy. In other words, there's no death beisha ye anshu. The pasuk clearly, in other words, this pasuk is the source for kam le b'derabamine. This pasuk is where we learn only if ain't ason beisha, there was no tragic death of the woman. In such a case, there'll be a financial payment for the miscarried children. Ein ason beisha ye anshu. However, yesh ason beisha lo ye anshu. If there is a tragedy with the woman, in other words, the woman got struck and she dies in such a case, there is not going to be any financial payment because of kamle bedravimine. But however, lo shvarim. This is not true when animals are fighting. In other words, this concept of kamle bedravimine is only relevant when it's anashim who are fighting. So the Gemara reads, Anashim, if Anashim are fighting, Ein Asam Isha Yanchu, if woman does not die, then there's going to be a financial payment. Yesh Asam Isha Lo Yanchu. There's a tragedy and the woman dies, then Lo Yanchu, they don't have a financial payment because they're put to death. Velo Shvarim, this is not true when it comes to animals that are fighting. The Alpha Gav, the Yesh Asam Yanchu. Even though there's a tragic death, nevertheless, the owner is going to have to incur financial payment. And then Hadr Kasav Rachman Baal HaSharnaki, the pasuk then writes, Baal HaSharnaki to Potter to tell you that indeed you're going to be Potter and there will not be any financial payment. Maskevle Ravada Barahava. Ravada Barahava asked the following question. Atu Ba'asum tell you Milsa. Does this actually depend on whether or not there's a tragic death over here? Bakavana tell you Milsa. It depends on the intention of what happened over here. Alam Ravada Brahava, Anashim, the pasuk is talking about Anashim were fighting, that it kinis gav nu zelazeh. They had intention to hurt each other. Af agav shesh asun beisha, even though there's a tragedy where the woman dies, ye anshu, they're going to be paid. They're going to have to pay because they didn't intend to hit her. But however, kineskavnu l'isha atzma, if a person has in mind to strike the woman, in such a case, lo ye anshu, there will not be any financial payment. Why? Because kamlei b'derabba minei, if there are two consecutive punishments that are relevant, one of them carries a death penalty, the other one carries a financial payment, there will not be any financial payment because they're put to death, because kamlei b'derabba minei. V'lo shvarim, this is not true when it comes to animals, da'afilu niskavnu l'isha atzma, even if the animal had intention to kill the person, the woman, ye anshu, still there will be a financial payment. The cost of Rachmana Baal Sharnaki. That's why the pasuk writes Baal Sharnaki. This is Rabbi Yosef Glili's halacha dipatiri, that there's not going to be any financial payment. The Gemara says v'chei ki yaso Rav Chagi mi daroma. Similarly, when Rav Chagi came from Darab, from the south of Eretz Yisrael, also v'aisi masnis tibyadi, he came from the yeshiva in the south of Eretz Yisrael, and he brought a Mishnah with him, Kavaseid Rav Adar Bar Ahava, which was similar to what Rav Adar Bar Ahava said. And he, again, he explained it exactly as we just got finished saying it, with the concept of Kamlei B'Darabah Mine. So that finishes off Rav Yosef Glili. So now, if you remember, the first drasha from Baal HaSharnaki that we had today came from Rabbi Eliezer. Who's the one who had a problem with Rabbi Eliezer's drasha? Rabbi Akiva. Then we had Rabbi Yosef Glili. He came up with another drasha from Baal HaSharnaki. So that's the second one. Who had a problem with him? Rabbi Akiva. Now comes along Tani Idach, Baal HaSharnaki, Rabbi Akiva Omer. Here's Rabbi Akiva himself, his own drasha. It gives us a little bit of insight as to what was going on here, because he had his own drasha from Baal HaSharnaki, which was maybe his motivation to ask all those questions. So he says, Naki midme eved. Halacha is, if a person kills an eved, a servant, halacha is, you have to pay shloshim shekel. There's a financial payment of 30 shekel. So now Rabbi Akiva says, Naki midme eved. So if a shar tam goes ahead and kills an eved, no financial payment of 30 shekel for the eved. Top of them bays, amud bays. Gemara now says, hold on a second, Rabbi Akiva. The neighbor of Yakiva Lanafshay, Valu Atmo, Halo Atmo, Eno Mishalim, Elamigufo, Haviul of Bested, Vishalim Lacha. Do you remember your question, Rabbi Akiva, that you asked at the beginning of this year this morning? This morning, when Rabbi Eliezer told us his halacha, and his halacha was that when a shartam kills a person, there's no financial payment, even half payment, for the kofar payment that comes along with killing a person. What was your question, Rabbi Akiva? Your question is, hold on. Of course there's no financial payment. The animal is put to death. Shartam only ever pays from its value. The animal's dead. So of course there's no financial payment. The animal's worth nothing. So Gemara said, Rabbi Akiva, what about your own question on yourself? Why is your drasha any better than you feel like you're exempt from your own question? Amar of Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, oh, I got a teretz, says the Gemara. We have a teretz, which is, Rabbi Akiva is talking about a case where before Beis Din had a chance to actually issue their ruling, you know what happened? The guy quickly made a barbecue. He shechted his animal. So again, animal's kosher. He shechted it. He did melicha, everything that has to be done. And he went ahead and he made lunch. So Mao, the Tema, I would have thought, Lish Talamine. Now before he makes his lunch, he has to now deliver all those rib steaks to the owner of the Eved. Kamash Malan, Baal HaSharnaki, Basar tells us that no, the animal's dead because he shechted al pi halacha. And the animal now has value. You still don't have to pay that Shloshim Shekel. And the explanation is, Hayol Ubar Ketelahu. Since the animal is technically bar ketela, deserves to be put to death, afagav deshachte lo l'shtalamine, he doesn't have to pay. Gemara says, hold on a second. Inasmuch as that's a good teretz for you, Rabbi Akiva, ihachi l'Rabbi Eliezer nami kishikadav v'shachtu. Why can't Rabbi Eliezer say the same thing? Animal killed a person. not an Eved. Kill the person before Beis Din had the opportunity to give the death sentence to this animal. The guy went ahead and shechted it. Gemara says, Hachanami, it's true. Rabbi Elazar could have answered that question. However, the Savar Dilma Islay Taima Achrina the Adif Mihai Vinemalei. So here, I think this line is a very important line. The Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva asked the question, and he asked it knowing that this is a possible teretz, but he was thinking, maybe Rabbi Eliezer has a much better teretz that he'll teach me, and I'll learn from him. So you see what's going on over here. Rabbi Akiva, when he was asking all these questions, he wasn't just being stubborn and asking questions because he wanted to stick up for his drasha. Rabbi Akiva wanted to learn. Rabbi Akiva knew his drasha. He knew Baal Sharnaki. He knew he was excluding the payments of Shloshim Shekel for an Eved. He also knew that there was a potential answer, which was that he shechted the animal, he slaughtered the animal, before Beis Din had a chance to actually give their Psak Din. But still, he asked the question to see, you know what? I may actually learn something from Rabbi Eliezer. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer will give me a better answer and I'll learn something new. So that's why he was asking those questions, because he wanted to be able to pull the bigger chiddush out of Rabbi Eliezer, which would have been an opportunity for Rabbi Akiva to learn something. So the Gemara says, you know what? The truth is, why didn't Rabbi Eliezer give this answer? The name of Rabbi Eliezer, Nami Lishni, let him give this answer. Shekadim v'shachtu, where he went ahead, he advanced, got ahead of Beis Din it, and he slaughtered it. Amar Lach, so he'll tell you, Hasam hudin eskavon laharagas abehem of laharagas adam. Remember, in that case, he's talking about he had intention, animal had intention to kill another animal and killed a person. So therefore, the whole thing wouldn't have started. The shar lav bar katelu. The shar is not even deserving of being put to death. It's lav bar katelu klal. So therefore, why should we be talking about a death? In other words, if it's an animal that deserves to be put to death, we could talk about shechting it beforehand or afterwards. In such a case, but in our case, says Rabbi Eliezer, where the animal didn't even have intention to kill a person, it doesn't deserve to be put to death. So therefore, I wouldn't even have to say the sakat at the chamin and the chayiv isr kolam ute. Aval hacha dmei karabak katelahu. In this case, the animal already deserves to be put to death. So lo tzarach kra, I don't need a pasuk. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer wouldn't have even bothered with that because you don't need a pasuk where it's so obvious. Lo tzarach kra, because alpha gav the shachte, even though he shachte. Rabbi Akiva nami vadi hakihu. Gemara says, okay, so the truth is, this makes a lot of sense. In other words, if the animal is a bar katela, so then why do you need to have a pasuk for it? In other words, the same answer Rabbi Eliezer has is relevant to Rabbi Akiva. Ella amar of Asi, Vasi explains, Haimilsa mipi gavri rabba shmieli. I heard this from someone very big. Humanu, who is that? Rabbi Yossi Rav Chanina. He explains, kasalka that zayta chamina, I would have thought, hayovam Rabbi Akiva af tam shachav of ad mashal mimosar nezek shalem. Even though, generally speaking, the tam only pays chati nezek, but a tam that harms a person, not kills a person, but harms a person, pays nezek shalem, pays for the full damages. So I would think mishtalam nami dmei eved me aliyah. I would think he also pays the value of the eved from the aliyah. In other words, I would say maybe all halachas of tam are suspended when it harms a person. I would think just like it pays the full damage, it also exceeds the value. It pays the value that would exceed its own value. Kasa rachma v'al sharnaki. Pasuk yes v'al sharnaki to say that no, it won't pay from the aliyah. Amar le Rav Zeila Rabasi. Vatavri Rekiva Ligazize. The Rekiva broke his own shearing tool. In other words, it's another expression to mean that he himself caused his own problem. Why? Tanya, if we learned in the Braisa, Rekiva Omer, Kiva says, Yachli Yishalim and Aliyah. I would think that the Shartan pays from the Aliyah, Tamal Omer, Kmishpataze, Yasalo. Just realized we only have 3 minutes left. The pasuk says, "Kmish b'zayi asalom gufa mashalim, but even mashal me'aliyah. You're only going to pay me gufa from its value, but not going to pay from his pocket." So Gemara says, "So therefore, Akiva himself has a different drasha to tell you that he doesn't pay from the aliyah. Therefore, it can't possibly be that he's using Baal Sharnaki to tell you that you don't pay from the aliyah. It's another pasuk. Alam Rava. It's just Rava says, I'll tell you why we need Baal Sharnaki. I mean, I would have thought, Hayul umach marini be'eved Yosef ben Chorin. Since there's a chumra when it comes to Eved more than killing a regular free person, why should Ben Chorin yafa sela? No, sin sela. This Ben Chorin had a value of a seller. Again, the value is not really the person's value, but the market value. If he's only worth a seller, you pay a seller. Shloshim, if the person's worth 30, you pay 30. The Eved has a chumrah that it's always fixed, which is Eved Yafa Sela. If the Eved's worth only a Sela, no Sin Shloshim, you still give 30. Therefore, I would say, Mishtalam Nami, Me Eved Me Aliyah. I would think that an Eved is different than a regular person that you always pay from his own bank account, because Rachman Abal Shonaki, the Pasuk tells us, Baal Shonaki, to tell you no, you only pay from its value, not from his bank account. Tanakim has said to Rava, we have a price which actually backs up Rava, because what does it say, Baal Shonaki? Mekiva Omer, Kiva says, Naki to me Eved. You don't have to pay the value of the Eved, the Shloshim Shekel. Gemara says, V'halo dinu, should be a Kavach Omer. In other words, it should make sense. Hoyel b'chayev b'eved, b'chayev b'chorin, just like there's a chiyav when it comes to killing anybody. An Eved, there's a financial payment for killing an Eved. There's also a financial payment when it comes to a free person. Just like when a person kills, when the animal kills a Ben Chorin. The Shor Tam kills a Ben Chorin, we differentiate between a Shor Tam and a Shor Mu'ud. Af k'shechai be'eved, nechlek bein Tam le'mu'ud. I would say you should make a difference when it comes to killing an Eved. There should be a difference between a Tam and a Mu'ud. But old Kal v'chomer. As a matter of fact, there should be a Kal v'chomer. Logically, we should figure this out. Ma Ben Chorin shenosin kol shavyo, chilak debo bein Tam le'mu'ud. Certainly, when it comes to a Ben Chorin, where you give the entire value, in other words, not only chatzi nezek, and still chilak debo bein Shor Tam le'shor Mu'ud. Eved, shenosin el shloshim. An Eved, there's no kofar payment. The maximum it could be is 30 shekel. When it comes to a person, the kofar payment is the full value. But an Eved is only shloshim. And in addition, shenachlek bo bein tam le'mu'ud. Wouldn't you say the same thing? You should be able to differentiate between tam and mu'ud. The Gemara says, no. It's not a good kavachom. Why? Because machmer reini be'eved yosef ben chorin. I would be more machmer when it comes to an Eved. More than a ben chorin. Why? Because ben chorin yafa sela nusin sela. A ben chorin has the leniency that if it's only worth a sela, you only pay a sela. Shloshim, nosin shloshim. If the person's worth 30, then you pay 30. However, the Eved yafa sela nosin shloshim. An Eved, if the person's only worth a sela, still there's a chumra, you have to pay the fixed amount of shloshim. Yachli yechayiv, I think that there's a financial payment that yechayiv. Tam lomar, bala shar naki, the apostle teaches us bala shar naki, naki means Eved, you don't pay anything, even though, in other words, even though there's a chumra by Eved, that there's a fixed value of shloshim, nevertheless, you're never going to have to pay more than that. Now, the truth is, this chumra also has a kula, because if the Eved is worth 100, still you only pay, Tosfos points this out, you only pay 30, but still having a fixed value is considered to be more of a chumra. I'm sorry I didn't get to the end of the Yamad. We'll have to stop here for today. We'll continue with the same tomorrow from the two dots. Have a great day.